नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पाद्विग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमीड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां शारदां प्रणमाम्यहं प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुगे नमः 4th चैप्टर 25th श्लोका दैवमेव परे यज्ञं योगिनः पर्युपासते ब्रह्माग्नावपरे यज्ञं यज्ञेनैवोपजुह्वति श्रोत्रादीनिन्द्रियाण्यन्ये संयमाग्निषु जुह्वति शब्दादीन् विषयानन्य इन्द्रियाग्निषु जुह्वति सर्वाणीन्द्रियकर्माणि प्राणकर्माणि चापरे आत्मसंयमयोगाग्नौ जुह्वति ज्ञानदीपिते द्रव्ययज्ञास्तपोयज्ञा योगयज्ञास्तथापरे स्वाध्यायज्ञानयज्ञाश्च यतयः संशितौ व्रताः अपाने जुह्वति प्राणं प्राणेपानं तथापरे प्राणापानगतिरुद्ध्वा प्राणायामपरायणाः अपरे नियताहारा प्राणान् प्राणेषु जुह्वति सर्वेप्येते यज्ञविदः यज्ञक्षपितकल्मषाः इन् दीस् सिक्स् श्लोकास् भगवान् enumerates 12 types of spiritual practices through the imagery of an yaga, yajna. In order to glorify Atma Jnanam, he compares Atma Jnanam with other spiritual disciplines. After enumerating various spiritual sadhanas as yajnas, finally, he will say that Jnana Yajnaha is superior. In the last class, we saw all the details of this Yajna. Since the gap is 1 month, I try to summarize. Yajnaha means Devatam Uddeshya Agnau Havistyagaha. Keeping a deity as an object of worship, agnau, in the fire, havistyagaha, giving oblations like havihi, ghee. In those days, the concept of yajna was very popular, therefore Bhagavan takes that concept itself and tries to explain other sadhanas through symbolically. So yajna means there will be a homakunda and there will be a fire and there will be something to offer oblation and there will be someone who can do this oblation, doer. So three things must be there: fire, oblation, karta, locus of worship, object of worship, and the doer of the worship. So any sadhana can be called yajna if it is dedicated to the Lord, if it is done for the sake of spiritual growth. Bhagavan explains that even the mundane activities like eating can be called as yajna if it fulfills these two criteria. It should be dedicated to the Lord and it should be done for the sake of spiritual growth. If these two criteria are not fulfilled, even the most exalted sadhana or difficult sadhana will be a bandha hetu. These sadhanas may give some supernatural powers, entry into heavens and etc., but they will be ultimately will be for bondage, like Ravana. Ravana did one sadhana standing in one leg 10,000 years, raising both hands. He was doing a mantra japa. He cannot stand even 10 minutes. He did it for 10,000 years. What he got? He got something from Shiva. What happened to him finally, everybody knows. So it caused spiritual downfall. So Bhagavan is going to stress that every day-to-day activities can be converted as a spiritual sadhana, provided if it is dedicated to the Lord and if it is done for the sake of spiritual growth. Otherwise, the exalted sadhanas, suppose somebody worshipping the Lord throughout the day in temple, there is a vigraha. In temple we can see priests. So you ask whether they are doing spiritual sadhana or not. So they will tell if they are sincere. Most of the time our mind is not on the Lord, our mind is on the plate, dakshina plate. So the worship is a great thing, but whether it is converted as spiritual sadhana or not, the priest knows that it is not converted as spiritual sadhana. And if you go to North India, especially Puri and other places, these pandas behavior, if you see, you have to wonder how Bhagavan is living here, because Bhagavan is living there is very visible. Otherwise, there is no possibility of people going rushing there, because every heart is connected with him. So he says, come to Puri. Like that he calls. So millions of people go. But once you go there and see the behavior of the pandas or priests, and you will wonder how Bhagavan is here. Normal man also will not behave in that way, in such a way they behave, but still they are allowed by the Bhagavan to worship him. But Shastra says it cannot be converted as a spiritual practice. So we will see 12 yajñas explained in these 6 shlokas. First yajna is Brahma yajnaha or Atma jnana yajnaha. In the 25th shloka, second line it comes, yajnam yajnena brahmagnau upajukvati. Here yajnam means jivatma ahankaraha. Very unique meaning is taken in this. Ahankaraha ahankarena brahmagnau upajukvati. It's a figurative expression of individual sacrificing himself. If you take it literally, it will not mean anything. How can individual sacrifice himself? Because there must be a sacrificer who is going to do the sacrificing act, and who will remain to receive the result of that act called sacrifice. Correct? So ultimately he cannot sacrifice himself. So this yajna cannot be in the form of an action, because any action should be done by a karta, and that karta will remain at the end of the action also to receive the result of the action as bhokta. So this particular individuality is sacrificed by the individual, cannot be in the form of action, but it will be in the form of knowledge about the reality. Seeing oneself identical with Paramatma is called jnanam, is called here jnana yajnaha. In bhakti scriptures it is called atma nivedanam, navavida bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam. Like that Prahlada explains, there atma nivedanam is one type of bhakti, that is in the form of this atma jnanam. The reality of an individual is he is infinite. It is a very contradictory statement. Individual is infinite. If he is infinite, he cannot be called individual. If he is individual, he cannot be called as infinite. Because individual means what? Who has certain form, name and properties. But here Shastra says, you think that yourself as individual, but in reality you are not individual, you are infinite. And the division which you are thinking, the division between you and the world, and the division between you and the Creator or Lord, is not a reality. It is not born out of time. It is not born out of space. It is not born out of attributes, but it is born out of ignorance. If there is a God, he must be an all-pervasive entity. He cannot be different from me. If he is different from me, he is also will be in samsara only, because he is individual, different from me. So therefore, God, if there is a God, this is the logic given by the scripture, if there is a God, he cannot exclude you, so he should pervade you also. When he pervades you, you pervade him. So therefore, you are full and complete purna vastu. Your individuality is an error. If somebody says, no, I cannot accept this idea that I am infinite. I am infinite means what? I am God. If somebody says, no, I cannot accept this. In reality, I am individual only. I can never become God. There are some philosophers there. Jiva can never become God. Then Shastra says, if that is the condition, don't do any sadhana. Don't do any sadhana, any spiritual practice. Why everyone does spiritual practice? You ask anyone, I want to attain the Lord, they will tell. Or I want to get moksha, they will tell. So here Shastra says, if you don't accept this teaching of the Vedanta, that you are infinite already, then there is no utility for any of your sadhana. Because any amount of sadhana cannot make your nature infinite. If you are finite intrinsically, if you are finite in reality, any amount of sadhana cannot make you infinite. Na bhavatyamrutam martyam, na martyam amrutam tatha, prakrute ranyatha bhavaha, na kathanchit bhavishyati. Gaudapada Acharya says this. Suppose there is a fire. Heat is the nature of the fire. Can you imagine even? Can you imagine that there is a cold fire? Or can you convert that fire by any amount of sadhana as a cold one? If something is intrinsic, that cannot be changed by any amount of effort. Therefore, if individuality, your finitude, your samsara is in reality, is truth, then don't do any sadhana. It is a waste of time. And if your nature is infinite, then also don't do any sadhana, because already you are infinite. Nothing is there to do sadhana. Then why all sadhana? If you are finite in reality, there is no utility for any sadhana. If you are infinite in reality, there is no need for any sadhana. Therefore, don't do any sadhana. Then you ask, why scriptures say lots of sadhana? Just now you told, Bhagavan has explained 12 sadhanas. So there the Acharya says, you are infinite already, but you don't know this. To know this, do all sadhanas. To know this fact, that you are already that, you have to do all these sadhanas. So all sadhanas will lead to jnana yajnaha, which will be in the form of seeing oneself identical with Paramatma. And this reality is revealed through the Upanishad Pramanam, because any knowledge comes through some pramanam. If a person wants to see, if a person wants to have knowledge about a form and colors, he should have seeing capacity. If a person wants to know something through in the form of sound, he should have ears. So every knowledge is having corresponding instrument of knowledge, pramanam we call. So this knowledge is revealed where? Through Upanishad Pramanam. Therefore, this yajna will be, what is that yajna? Jnana yajna will be in the form of Vedanta Shravana Manana Nididhyasana Rupa Atma Vicharaha. But this Atma Vichara requires certain mental disposition. Everybody cannot do this. It requires certain emotional maturity. Without that, vichara will be useless. So even after 25 years of studies also, a person cannot gain this knowledge if he doesn't qualify himself with certain emotional maturity. We call it sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi. Sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi. So scripture prescribes all other sadhanas to gain this sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi. There is a shloka, teja dharmam adharmam cha ubhe satyanrute, teja ubhe satyanrute tektva yena tyajati tatyaja. By other sadhanas, first get away from this adharmic way of life, because naturally way of life will be adharmic. Himsa is an adharma. Drinking questionable drinks is called adharma. Coveting for somebody's wealth is called adharma. These are all animalistic instincts. So this comes to the individual even after he gains that human body also. So Shastra says all your instincts, animalistic instincts, which lead you to commit adharma should be transformed by doing certain spiritual practices. After becoming a dharmic person, give up both. Give up both means give up individuality. Ubhe satyanrute tektva yena tyajati tat tyaje, that ahankara also you have to renounce. So this is the nature of first yajna, brahma yajna, atma jnana yajna. Then second yajna in this list, 12 yajnas we will see. Daiva yajnam apare yoginaha daivam yajnam paryupate, 25th shloka first line. Apare yoginaha daivam yajnam paryupasate. Daiva yajnam means all types of ritualistic worship, whether it is done through fire or through image or through photos, whatever it may be, ritualistic worship is called daiva yajnam. Then third one is damaha indriya nigraha. Sense control also is considered in our scripture. Sense control also is considered as a worship. Shrotradini indriyani sanyamagnishu jutvati. Here what is the fire? Disciplining the sense organs is called fire. Nigraha is called fire. Nigraha doesn't mean suppression but sublimation or direct. Nigraha means not closing, shutting down. You cannot shut down your sense organs. You have to live in the world. To live in the world, you have to operate your sense organs. But in which field we operate? Through eyes, we can go and see beautiful things like Deva Darshanam. We can go to temple and see Bhagavan's form. And we can go to theater also to see all nonsense things also. Through eyes only. So which direction your sense organs will work? That you have to decide and you have to direct those sense organs. So wild activities of the sense organs are here oblation into the fire of nigraha. In yoga shastra it is called pratyaharaha. Then fourth one, vishaya bhogaha. You see the beauty. Vishaya bhogaha means sense pleasure. Sense pleasure also is considered and accepted by the scripture as spiritual practice. So nice license already. We are searching for some license to some acceptance for our sensual pleasures. Shastra says, Shabdhadini Vishayan Indriyagnishu Jukhvati. Even the mundane sense pleasures also can be converted as spiritual sadhana. How? Very carefully you have to understand. Here the fire is what? Sense organ. Seven Omakundas. Omakundas means where? What? Where you can pour the oblation. Na? So, eyes, two omakundas, two ears, nostrils, then one mouth, my God. Na? Because if it's two, what will happen? With one mouth, we do all the types of akrama, junk food, these, that. And this Madhya Pradesh gets trouble because of this one entry. So, all the seven entries, since Panja, Indriya, but they have seven entries, omakunda. Through them, we offer, what we offer? respective sensory objects. Through eyes we offer forms and colors, through ears we offer sound, through nostril we offer smell, like that respective sensory objects we offer. And here Acharya writes, dharma aviruddha vishaya grahana. Aviruddha vishaya grahana means it should not be an obstacle for our spiritual life. Because what is our idea? Converting our own day-to-day life as a spiritual practice. So it should not be dharma aviruddham. Entry with permission only. Scanning must be there. You enter the airport, so they will scan you. Fully they scan. Not only they scan you, they touch you and frisk you. Similarly, you have to frisk every sensory object. And if you find that, if your Viveka Shakti says there is no danger, seeing this particular cinema is not danger, seeing this particular picture is not a danger. Danger for what? Danger for my mental health. Then only it should be allowed. So all the Vishayas should be within the dharma, and it should be offered to the Lord through prayer. That's why eating time also we have a prayer. We saw in the 24th shloka, Brahma Arpanam Brahma Avihi. And it is then, that Vishayagrahanam is then with the motive of spiritual growth. There are people who live for eating, there are people who eat for living. If a person lives for eating, he is a bhogi. If that person eats for the sake of living, he is called a sadhakaha. So Vedic culture does not deny the necessity of sensory pleasures, vishaya grahanam, in human life. But it tries to change our attitude towards them. What is our attitude towards the vishayas? So it is ananda hetuhu. Correct? Ice cream is a source of happiness, everybody thinks. But Shastra says it is not a source of happiness. If it is source of happiness, intrinsically it should be source of happiness for everyone. You give ice cream to a person who has a tongue problem, he will die with that ice cream. It's a poison for him. So it is not a source of happiness. It has some utility in your life. Through that you have to learn certain lessons. What are the lessons? Through every sensory object, human being should learn that everything comes in my life is anityam, sadishayam and apekshikam. Everything comes in my life is temporary, subject to arrival and departure, and it is sadishayam. There is a possibility of increasing it. So small one ice cream you have, then next time you will try to have more. Then next third time you will try to have some other brand, some other variety. So varieties of you can increase that pleasure of having the ice cream. So there is a possibility of increase in that pleasure. So therefore now wherever there is a possibility of increase, at present you will not be satisfied. Correct? So the child brings a marks card and shows that, dad, I have received a 80%. So there is a possibility another 20% to increase. So dad will tell, only 80%? So wherever there is a possibility of increase, there will not be happiness at that present bhoga, present achievement. Therefore it is a dukkha yeduhu. Then third one is bandhakam. It will make you dependent person. That's what you find. Any amount of money, any amount of comfort, any amount of wealth is not sufficient for some people. There are some people who are very happy without any of these things. But there are some people who are unhappy with having lot of things. So dependence it creates. How to convert entire day-to-day life as a spiritual sadhana? In our culture, varieties of mantras are there. One mantra I will try to share with you. It is Shiva mantra. Atma tvam girijamati sahachara prana shariram griham pujate vishayopabhogarachana nidra samadhi stitihi sancharah patayo pradakshina vidhi sotrani sarva giraha yadyat karma karomi tattadakhilam shambhotavaradhanam. O Lord, I am not able to worship you in my daily, day-to-day life. So, I request you, please convert all my actions as your worship. Why? Because you are Atma, you are my own Antaryami. Girija Madihi, Divine Mother is my mind. Who are the Sahachara? Prana, my Pranas are all your Shivaghanas. This Shariram is Graham. So therefore you are residing here. So whatever happens in this Sharira must be Puja. So he says, Te Puja Vishayobha Bhoga Rachana. Whatever I Bhoga I do, that you convert as a Puja. Then what is Samadhi? When I go to sleep, you consider it as a Samadhi. Nidra Samadhi Stitihi. Then, so you have to go, if you are worshipping, you have to circumambulate or you have to do pratakshina. People do pratakshina. So you have to circumambulate the Lord. What is that? Relaxed walking is there. Nah? You convert it as a pradakshina. Then, whatever I talk, whatever I gossip, please take it as a stotra. It says a stotrani sarvagraha. Sarvagraha means what? Gira means what? All my words. Maybe gossiping words. So in short, yet yet karomi, whatever I do, akrama I do, tattada kilam shambho savaradhanam. So this much license our Shastra gives. That doesn't mean that we should stay there only. At least from that level you have to start going slowly. Yet yet karomi, word will not come. Yet yet dharma karyam karomi, word will come. So there was a devotee in Sri Ramakrishna's life, Girish Chandra Ghosh. So he was a drunkard like anything. As even he comes to have darshan of Sri Ramakrishna, half bottle he will finish, then half he will keep in that bullock cart and he will come. So Sri Ramakrishna, as even he arrives, he will tell to his disciple, go and bring another, that half bottle is there, na? That also you bring, let him drink in front of me. So Sri Ramakrishna wanted to teach that whatever you do, it will be in my presence only. Whether I am physically available in front of you or not, you cannot avoid my presence. You cannot avoid Bhagavan's presence. How can we avoid Bhagavan's presence? We cannot avoid the Agni's presence. We cannot avoid Vayu's presence. We cannot avoid Jalatattva's presence. We cannot avoid Akasha. And we say, we think that nobody saw me. That's why fellows go to questionable places, hiding their face like this. Correct? Especially young boys goes to pub and other places there. So this way, that way they see and go. They think, hey, what? Nobody has seen. Bhagavan says, hey, you have seen yourself. You have seen yourself means what? I have seen you. So I am the Antaryami. So Sri Ramakrishna wanted to teach this. So he told, all right, take now itself. In front of me itself you take. But before taking, offer it to the Lord and take. Offer it to Divine Mother and take, he told. So he took it as a Guru Ajna. So he started offering it and taking. As even he was having this habit, suddenly one day his thinking mind asked, how can you offer something unwanted to the Lord? Once that offering practice is established, naturally you will offer only the best thing in your life. So before that, what happens? Now what we see in a normal man's life, anything put in the plate, before telling any harina, at least one harinama they can tell, na? As even they are served immediately, goes to mouth, like mechanically. So what is the difference between us and dogs? Dogs also do that. Dogs also will not allow you to serve, you know. If you take food for the dog, it will be rounding here and there, it will disturb you in serving itself. And you have to, hey, wait, I will serve, then after I eat. That is the condition. We are not able to even wait for few minutes and have a prayer and have an offering attitude and take it. Because that attitude is established, means naturally you will, if you consider that whatever you take is going for as an offering to the Lord, then you will take only proper things in your life. So Shastra takes, elevates everyone whatever level he is. So this sloka is not a license for everyone. Oh Bhagavan, early morning I am not able to get up, so you take it all my day to day. So you can say prana agni hotra I do prana agni hotra. How many times? 4 times I do prana agni. 4 times this fellow eats. So he says 4 times I do prana agni hotra. For eating in Shastra, prana agni hotra it is called. Agni means there is a agni, jathara agni is there inside our stomach. So if you offer it and eat, at least that much okay. But that also he doesn't do. But 4 times he eats, but he considers that as a spiritual practice, Bhagavan says, nothing doing, it should be connected with the Lord. Then, fifth spiritual practice is Shamaha. Atma Sanyamaha is another name mentioned in this shloka. Sarvani Indriya Karmani Prana Karmani Cha Jnana Deepite Atma Sanyamayogagno Jukvati. Sarvani Indriya Karmani means five Jnana Indriyas. We have five sense organs of knowledge, five sense organs of actions. So Prana Karmani means five sense organs of actions, and Sarvani Indriya Karmani means five sense organs of knowledge. All the 10 sense organs and their actions are oblations here. So they are disciplined by Jnana Deepite, by Viveka Shakti. Because Shamaha means mental control. Without a Viveka Shakti, if anybody practices discipline, then it will be a suppression. Because you are not convinced about that spiritual discipline. Like children, early morning getting up and doing worship, parents are forcing. Nowadays parents, that also not there. What example I can tell now? Because this example doesn't shoot for present. Because no parent gets up early in the morning. Early in the morning means the dictionary is 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock is not early in the morning. 5 o'clock maximum, before the sunrise, everybody should get up and they should wait and invite the Surya Bhagavan. Brahma Muhurta, they call it. If children are forced to do something which they are not convinced of, they will not do it. In front of the parent, they may do it, study, study, study it. So it keeps the book. And same sentence, Ashoka planted trees, Ashoka planted trees, Ashoka planted trees. But mind is where? Pogo TV channel, it is there. So it becomes a, then mother shouts, hey, same sentence you are telling. Why? Like that. Yes, Ashoka planted trees, Ashoka planted trees. Nothing enters. And if you compel more, it will lead to suppression. Children have this burden. They are not willing to study. Why? Because they are not convinced of the education. They are not convinced of the education. Instead of convincing them, making them to understand, what your parents do? Study, study, study. So they act or as they are obeying your words, they pretend. But once they get freedom, what happens? So you go to any school and stand just 2 minutes or 3 minutes before bell ringing. After bell ringing, you will have a beautiful voice of children, a voice of joy, a voice of freedom. Like that, all children will, and they will rush from the, if they are happy in the school atmosphere, they should they rush. Why should they rush? Because it leads to suppression. If suppression continued, it will lead to depression also. So here Bhagavan says, every mental discipline should be practiced with a conviction that it is a good for my life. It will increase my quality of my life. So every thought arises in the mind are processed, filtered, disciplined, then entertained. So Shama means what? Mental control. What is the sign of mental control? One will be moral even if no one observes him. Even if he is surrounded with so many tempting entertainments, he will be moral if he has mental control. Strength of a person is determined by this mental control. So they say, नवे वयसि यशांतः सशांतः सद्विरुच्यते धातुषु क्षीयमानेषु कस्य शांतिः न जायते. A person should develop all these disciplines, strength of mind, mental control, when he is very young. So somebody says, sir, I don't see TV at all, and that fellow is 80-year-old fellow. So you won't achieve it. You won't appreciate it. Hey, 80-year-old, what is there to see? Already, cataract has come. If you see another 5 minutes, you will have giddiness. So, what is there to boasting? If a child or a young boy says, I don't see TV at all because I don't find anything worth in that, then immediately you will appreciate. If they are parent, good parent, they will appreciate. Some parent, ignorant parent, oh, you don't see TV, what happened to you, like that. They, because seeing TV is normal for the, those parents, ignorant parents. If they are cultured parents, then, oh no, the TV, okay, something good things are there, that only I will tell, then that much you can see. So nave vayasi yesh shantaha, one who has control, one who has shama at the young age, that person's shama is the shama. Dhatushu kshiyamaneshu, when all the sense organs are worn out, when teeth is not there at all, this fellow says, I don't take meat at all. Why? He cannot munch. So dhatusu kshiyamaneshu kasya shantihi na jayate, that is called shamaha. Then sixth one, dravya yajnaha. Dravya yajnaha means dana. Last class I told that kodakanda vidakanda, that story, you have to remember that story. Here, through this yajna, what is the oblation? Lobaha. Greediness is offered. As even you give, as even a person gives, start giving little bit. That giving attitude is told, not the quantity. The quality, I should share, I should share, I should share. Whatever is possible, whether it is money, wealth, time, education, whatever it may be, that lobha is offered there. The receiver will be the fire. One who receives the dhanam is called a fire. So in this culture, even giving is considered as the spiritual practice, and receiving also is considered as the spiritual practice. I will share my small experience. So once there was an old mother, just when I went to a temple, she was sitting, I gave some money. She received it and she blessed me touching my head. I accepted that blessing. Afterwards I was thinking, if a person considers himself or herself as a capable person to bless others, why should he or she can beg? You are getting the point? Suppose I bless someone. What I bless? I bless, let you be happy. If I have the capacity to bless you, let you be happy, can't I make my life as happy a life without anybody's dependence? Does a beggar have this capacity to bless others? But Indian beggars think they have the capacity and the right to bless you. Even if you give 1 rupee coin, they will bless you. What is their attitude? I was just thinking about it. While receiving, they are in one identity. While blessing, they are in another identity. While receiving, their identity is what? Their physical identity. As the receiver, they receive as a physical identity. And you are going to ask them, oh, these people are giving you dana, charity, therefore only you are living, so you have to be grateful to them. The beggar will tell, nothing doing. They are not protecting me, Bhagavan is protecting me. So the receiver also is considered as the one of the form of the Bhagavan. Beggar thinks that. Generally we give and they say something, we come out. Nah? If you analyze this small incident, I was analyzing this incident. How a beggar can think that he or she has the capacity to bless? If I have the capacity to bless others, I have the capacity to bless me also. So if I have the capacity to bless me, how can I beg? But Indian culture is so wonderful, the receiver doesn't feel humbled. In other cultures, receiver is always below. Correct? He feels humbled. He feels ashamed. He feels what you call, by nature, by society, I have been cornered in this condition that I should live on somebody's charity. He feels ashamed. But Indian beggar doesn't feel ashamed. And that is why all the beggars will be in Tirtha Kshetras generally, temples, in front of temple. Because they know, if they come to your house, you will not give. But when you come to temple, you will give. Because just now, your divine personality is invoked inside the temple. A bhakta personality is invoked. As a bhakta, when you come out, at least for 5 seconds or 10 seconds, you will remain as bhakta. So 1 or 2 rupees you will give. That sentiment they know. So they sit there. And they receive, even though they receive, they give back to you something which you want. What do you want? What you want? Just 5 minutes before, what you told to Bhagavan inside the temple? Oh Bhagavan, please bless me. Correct? Bhagavan says, go to that beggar. In my form, she is sitting there. Go there, and through her or through that beggar, you will get blessing. See the culture. Even the most despicable lifestyle of a beggar can be elevated as a spiritual seeker's life. So that's why beggar casually says, I bless you. Or Bhagavan bless you. And we also do like this and come out. So in this culture, the receiver also is divine nature, and the giver also is asked to consider the receiver as the embodied. We don't consider anyone as a low and give money. We consider, edo papa devari roopathula idare, Bhagavan is sitting in this form, so without insulting, I will do something and go out. I cannot share their suffering, external suffering, but Bhagavan only is inside there, the suffering fellow also. So it will, why I give charity? Because I consider by giving charity, I will get punya. Correct? I will get punya. How punya will come when it is offered, when it is not offered to the Lord? So I have that idea. It is not to the beggar I am giving. It is to the Lord I am giving. All these very subtle ideas are there. Even the beggar has the capacity to bless you, and the giver also considers the beggar as the manifestation of the Lord. This is called Dravya Yajnaha. Then Tapo Yajnaha. Tapas. Tapas means willful self-denial. Willful self-denial. Consciously, willfully, I deny something to which I am habituated. There are some people without petrol. Petrol means what? Coffee. Their life will not start. Bed coffee. Without that petrol, nothing will move on. So sometimes the person should say no to that. He has become slave to that particular object. Therefore, now and then, at least 2 days, 3 days. That's why Ekadish, 15 days once, they say Nirjala Upavasa you do. Nirjala Upavasa means coffee. Without coffee only Nirjala. So at least 15 days once, try to practice freedom from that coffee which is binding you regularly. Why should I practice that? To establish my mastery over my own sense organs. Mind is not a master, it is a slave of sense organs. So if I say, see that, immediately we go and see. If my tongue says, I want, I want, I want, you stand there and the bus stop, and in front of the bus stop you see a beautiful sweet stall. Suddenly, immediately mind goes where? That all Mysore Paku and other things are there. Sees it goes, eyes are showing, hey, nice it is. Immediately, tongue also says, I want, I want, I want. So, immediately, hand goes naturally to the purse, and then legs also naturally walks to the shop without knowing the traffic. Then it purchases and labak, it goes inside. So, to establish my mastery over my sense organs, this types of tapas should be done. All types of vratas, Ekadishi vrata and other Shivaratri vrata, like that. Some days we have to, once in 15 days, once in a month, we should practice all these things. Then Yoga Yajnaha. Yoga Yajnaha means here Ashtanga Yogaha, Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi, all the eightfold sadhanas are called Yoga Yajnaha. Yama Niyama means what? Values of life. Ahimsa, Satyam, Brahmacharyam, like that. So here the oblation is disharmony among the various personalities. Individual, a jiva is not one person. That's why morning he says one thing, next 5 minutes afterwards he says, I am black. I am hungry. I am disturbed. I am ignorant. I slept. Take all these 5 statements. I am black when he says, what he says? About his body. I am hungry when he says about his pranic personality. Physiological personality they call it. I am angry because I have not got my tiffin immediately. I am angry when he says, he talks about his mental personality. I am ignorant without knowing the nature of the person I married that person. So therefore I am ignorant when he says, because he thought she will cook or he will cook both sides. She or he will cook and give in time, tiffin. So it is not coming. Therefore you are angry also, and you what you call scold your own fate. Some people knock their head also. Unna poi kalyanam pannitene, I have married you, it is my bad ill fate, like that. So I am ignorant, I did not know your nature, therefore I married, like that. So all these statements you take, it talks about each statement is talking about different thing. Five personalities are there. Every personality is invoked as I. So all these various personalities are integrated or disciplined by Ashtanga Yoga. Then ninth sadhana, Swadhyaya Yajnaha. Swadhyaya means Veda Adhyayanam, Shastra Adhyayanam. In those days, chanting and memorizing of the Shastra. It can be original Shastra Veda, or it can be Dharma Shastra or Upashastras or Shadangas, like that. So here the oblation is what? Forgetfulness and ignorance are the oblations. As even I try to memorize and I keep it in my daily life as a spiritual sadhana, I cannot forget, and this knowledge which I gained by memorizing, it will stay as it is. So 10th yajna, jnana yajnaha. Jnana yajnaha means here, not first also we told jnana yajna, that is atma jnana yajna. Here jnana yajna means dharma jnana yajnaha or aparavidya, it is called aparavidya. That is there are varieties of literatures in our culture. Even to study Veda, one should study Shadangas. Shadanga means what? Other sciences like grammar, etymology, then epistemology, then what you call astrology, like that. Six auxiliary subjects has to be studied. Then only one person can understand what Veda wants to say. These type of studies are called aparavidya. So it is understanding. First one is what? Swadhyaya. Swadhyaya means just chanting and memorizing. Padagrahanam. Words are going inside our mind. Then jnana yajnaha means what? Shastra arthagrahanam. Meaning of those words. So if you go to temple and ask the priest the meaning of the mantras which he is chanting, no priest can say, because they don't know meaning. They know this mantra should be chanted at this time. There are some fellows who may keep in their memory ulta ulta. So during marriage ceremony they will chant Shraddha ceremony mantras. And the person also is doing, poor man, he doesn't know anything in Sanskrit. So he has to wait when this fellow will end. That is the now condition of the Vedic culture. That's why even after seeing sannyasi in temple, these fellows habituated, they don't know the meaning, what they chant. So they will do sankalpa. The sankalpa means what? They will ask your gotra and this one name and other thing. So they will ask sadhus also. And they will tell the sankalpa mantra, pashum, dhanam, dhanyam, pashum, bahuputra lava. Hey, for sannyasi, how can you say bahuputra lava? Same thing will continue. Only padagrahanam is there, arthagrahanam is not there. I am not criticizing that priesthood. I am telling how our culture, at the young age, it gives certain things in your memory. And it says you keep it in your memory. As even you grow, I will teach you. What this fellow does, he goes to Gurukula, 6 months stays somewhere, some Gurukula. 6 months he knows how to do Achamadam, this one. Then livelihood is there now. He has to earn. So without knowing the artha, he comes out. If he comes out without knowing the artha, like this only, to a sannyasi, pashum, dhanam, dhanyam. Where is the dhana and dhanya for this one? Pashum. Then bahuputra labham. Like that, chata samvatsaram, dhirgamayuhu. This sadhu doesn't want any of these things. Then we have to say, hey, enough, yeah, sakko. No, no, Swamiji, we will continue and complete, he will complete. Because in between he cannot stop it. If he stops, next mantra will not come.
that shloka as even you have to continue. Then only that next mantra, the memory like that. Suddenly you start with next mantra, you cannot, so you will continue and end. And I used to introduce one more. Tell Siddha Shuddhi Artham, Moksha Prapti Artham, Sarva Loka, Hisatham, you tell. Nothing will come in their words. Really, I tried so many times. So, Artha Grahanam is called Jnana Yajnaha. Then 11th is Pranayamaha. Breathing also is considered as a spiritual practice. What a culture it is. Can a person live without breathing? This culture says, hey, breathe properly, you are doing sadhana. What a culture it is. So, no moment of your life can be away from the Lord. That's what Shastra wants. What this Vedic culture wants to teach is what? No moment of your life can be away from the Lord. You can never distance the Lord. So, breathing is a natural process. Then he says, do it consciously, it becomes a spiritual practice. Purakam. Pranayama means what? Pranayamaha. Pranayama means what? Pranayamaha. It has three aspects. We all know. It is a technical name I am giving. Inhalation, exhalation, in between retention. We do. When a person talks, neither he inhales nor he exhales. Correct? You try. You start chanting some shloka. In between, nothing will happen. Retention it is called. Kumbhaka it is. So if it is inhalation, it is called purakam. You inhale, you fill the lungs. So purayati, therefore it is called purakam. Then you exhale, rechakam. You exhale, it is called in Sanskrit rechaka. And you retain. Two types of retention are there. After inhaling, you stop breathing. That is one type of retention. After exhaling, after emptying your lungs, you stop breathing. That is another type of retention. So, antakumbaham, they call it. After inhaling, with the air inside your lung, if you retain it, it is called antakumbakam. After exhaling, without any air at all in the lungs, if you stop breathing for some moment, not continuously, Govinda afterwards. If you extend that retention for some more time, then others will come and take it. You cannot go, move. The others have to come and take you. So in that way, kumbakam, antakumbakam and bhakya kumbakam, they call it. Pranayama gati rudva jukhvati. When Bhagavan says, it is called kumbaka. Then apane pranam jukhvati is called puraka, inhalation. Prane apanam jukhvati, it is called rechaka, exhalation. So these things should be practiced with the thought of the Lord. That's why any karma, any ritual starts with what? Om bho 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 swaha. Correct? If anybody has done that sandhya vandanam, they can know. Even the sandhya vandanam starts with what? Om bho, om bhuva, om swaha, like that. So that time what you have to do? You have to exhale and inhale and retain. But you can observe suppose somebody does some sadha karma or something, that priest, you can observe. He will touch the nose, that's all, nothing will happen. That is called pranayama, and it should be mentally accompanied with omkara, chanting of omkara or vyakriti mantra. Vyakriti mantra means bhu, bhuva, swaha, maha, like that vyakriti mantras are there. Otherwise, it will be a physical breathing. Normal breathing. All animals also breathe. We also breathe. If we don't connect the breathing with the Lord's name, what is the difference between us and animal? If we breathe, if we connect the Lord's name with that breathing, Shastra says you are doing spiritual sadhana. Then 12th discipline is Ahara Niyamaha. Food control. This is also a very mundane activity. This also Shastra says you can convert it as a spiritual practice. Food control means what? Quality control, quantity control. First, quantity control. Without quantity control, you cannot have quality control. First, quantity control. So, there is a shloka for this quantity control. Purayet ashanena ardham తృతీయం ఉదకేన తు వాయో సంచరణార్థాయ చతుర్థం అవశేషయే. అర్థం పూరయే, ఫిల్ యువర్ స్టమక్ ఆఫ్ విత్ ఫుడ్, దెన్ బ్యాలెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆఫ్ స్టమక్ ఓన్లీ షుడ్ బి దేర్. శాస్త్రం ఇస్ నో నో నో, యూ విల్ బి ఫుల్ స్టమక్. దెన్ థర్డ్ క్వార్టర్ యూ ఫిల్ విత్ వాటర్. దెన్ ఫోర్త్ క్వార్టర్ అలౌ ది ఎయిర్ టు మూవ్, అదర్వైజ్ ఫుల్లీ టైట్ అండ్ మీన్స్ వాట్ హ్యాపెన్స్, వామిట్ హ్యాపెన్స్. ఎస్ఐ దట్ వామిట్ ఆల్సో హ్యాపెన్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ వాట్? ఎయిర్ ఎయిర్ ఈస్ పుషింగ్ అవుట్ సైడ్ అప్ సైడ్ ఇట్ ఇట్స్ కాల్డ్ ఐ థింక్ ధ్యాన ఉదాహరణ సమాన ధ్యాన. So it pushes, hey, give me some place, I have to move here and there inside the stomach, it says. And if you don't give, what happens? Some portion comes out. So quantity control. And ahara not only through mouth, through ears also we give ahara, FM ahara, classical music ahara, bhajana ahara, like that varieties of ahara. So 10 hours we hear, what will happen? Ears will say, I cannot hear. After some time, ears will say, I cannot hear. You have overused me, abused me, like that. So all the, through all the sense organs, this quantity control should be there. And quality control. Quality control means what? What we take should be a quality thing. Not junk food day. Varieties of junk food at all levels. Mouth junk food day. For eyes also there are junk foods in media. For years also there are junk food. So all these types of food, junk foods which can create problem in your physical and mental health should be avoided. That is called ahara niyama. Another word for ahara niyama is upavasaha. Now and then Shastra says 15 days once at least do ekadashi vivrata. Ekadashyantu sarvesham kartavyam భో జన ద్వయం. టూ థింగ్స్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు డూ డ్యూరింగ్ ఏకాదశి. వాట్ ఇట్ ఈస్, వాట్ ఆర్ దే? శుద్ధోపవాస ప్రథమం, కథాశ్రవణం పునశ్చ. శుద్ధోపవాస, వితౌట్ టేకింగ్ ఎనీ ఫుడ్ యూ స్టే హోల్ డే, నథింగ్ విల్ హ్యాపన్. అండ్ నాట్ ఇన్వాల్వింగ్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ అదర్ వరల్డ్లీ యాక్టివిటీస్. సో యూ షుడ్ ఇన్వాల్వ్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ కథాశ్రవణం. So one fellow who doesn't know Sanskrit, he understood this shloka in this way. Our Acharya Swamiji used to joke. What is the shloka? Ekadashyam tu sarvesham kartavyam bho jana dvayam. He jana, bho means he jana, he humanity. Two things you have to kartavyam. This fellow has added that bho jana. He told, ekadashyam tu kartavyam sarvesham bho jana dvayam. నాట్ భోజనద్వయం, భోజనద్వయం. సో ఉపవాస మీన్స్ స్టేయింగ్ నియర్ విత్ ది లార్డ్. దోస్ హూ ప్రాక్టీస్ వన్ ఆర్ మోర్ డిసిప్లిన్స్ ఫార్ ది సేక్ ఆఫ్ స్పిరిచువల్ గ్రోత్, దే ఆర్ కాల్డ్ యతయ సిన్సియర్ సీకర్స్. యతి హీ మీన్స్ ఏ సన్యాసి ఇన్ లిటరలీ, బట్ హియర్ ద మీనింగ్ ఈస్ యతయ మీన్స్ సిన్సియర్ సీకర్స్. సంశిత వ్రత, a person who practices, he also can be considered as a sadhu, a sannyasi, even though he is a grihastha by way of life, but still internally he is a yatihi. Samshita vrata, men of firm resolve. To do all these things you need some resolve. Even to get up early in the morning you need resolve. So you put alarm and alarm works properly, and the clock also says, hey, get up 5 o'clock, you only put me. Then you, what we do? There is another factor called, that's why manufacturers of a clock, they know this human factor. So they give one factor called snooze. You snooze for 5 minutes and it goes for 1 hour. Correct? So samshita vrata, firm resolve, you should have firm resolve. Yajna vitaha, yajnan vindanti anutishtanti. One who follows this, because merely knowing them does not help. You know all the pranayama. If you don't practice, there is no benefit. And since they invoke the Lord and do all the sadhanas for the sake of spiritual growth, they become yajna kshapita kalmasha. They are
purified from the obstacles in spiritual life. They are purified from kalmasha. Kalmasha means obstacle or sin. What is that obstacle? Shastra says, anything which obstructs your spiritual growth is an obstacle. For some people, richness itself is an obstacle. So for some people, intelligence is an obstacle. For some people, parentage is an obstacle. Parentage means what? Birth in a higher kulas. They are so much arrogant. They don't know even Gayatri, but they will tell, I am Brahmana, I should not touch others. Hey, what Brahmana you are? You don't know even Gayatri, nor you chant the Gayatri daily at least. So these are the spiritual obstacles. So any obstacle, if they start practicing all these small disciplines, they will be purified. They will be freed from that obstacle. So what is the sign of purity? Acharya says, Vairagyam, Ishvara Smaranam. Naturally, our smaranam is what? Whenever we are free, the thought process in our mind? This did not happen, that should happen, this did not happen. Like that, nah? Instead of that, you will do whatever has to be done. But balance hours, we'll have Ishvara Smaranam and interest in Satsanga and Vedanta Vichara. So in these shlokas, Bhagavan mentioned only few sadhanas only. Many other sadhanas will be mentioned later. Japa Yajna is not mentioned here. So Japa Yajna and so many Guru Seva and other things you will mention later. By practicing as many sadhanas as possible, one should convert oneself from animalistic to human being. Because converting ourselves as human being is very big growth. So that itself now it is getting reduced. People are externally human. Recently I saw a banyan being human. You might have seen. Are human being is having, this banyan can be owned by only non-human being. Correct. Being human, he puts banyan. That means what? I am trying to be as a human. That means what? I am not human. Externally with human body, internally jackal, fox, tiger, dog, pig, monkey, donkey, like that. Bhagavatam says. I am not telling. Bhagavatam says. So those tendencies should be transformed and become human and ultimately find out the divinity. That's why every child at the age of 6 or 7 is asked to go to Gurukula. While going to Gurukula, every child is given Upavita. That is sacred thread ceremony. What is that name of that Upavita? Yajna Upavita. Yajna Upavita they call it. What is that Yajna Upavita? What is the meaning of that? Hereafter your life is not going to be animalistic life. You cannot do anything and everything whatever you did so far up to 6th year, 7th year. Now hereafter you have to practice certain disciplines, religious disciplines that will make you more human. Now Yajna Upavita is done one day before marriage. Yes, he has to hold that thread so that he puts one day before marriage. In those days in our culture, Yajna Upavita means an initiation for a disciplined life. And a mantra is given for practicing japa and other spiritual disciplines are told like this. Sandhya Vandana, when they do pranayama, they do prayer, they do every yaga and everything, seva, everything comes. So it was a beautiful culture. But we cannot follow all those things now. Yaga, yajna, you cannot follow. So therefore Bhagavan will tell, at least tell japa. He will tell, yajnanam japa yajnyosmi, he will tell. So at least some sort of spiritual practice should be in our life so that we can transform all animalistic tendencies and go towards the divinity. More details we will see in the next class.
कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय हरये परमात्मने प्रणदक्लेशनाशाय गोविंदाय नमो नमः.